Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Ayin Aleph. We're holding the final line of Ayin Amid Beis, where the Gemara begins, Amalei Reb Lozer L'Reb Yoshia D'Dore. Reb Lozer, and Barry will remind us that this is Reb Lozer Ben Pidos, who is the Amoira, is now addressing Reb Yoshia of his door. Why does the Gemara say Reb Yoshia of his door? Because Rashi says at the top, there was another Reb Yoshia who was a Tana, and he lived a very long life, and so therefore he overlapped with Reb Lozer ben Pidos, the Amoira. Why is this important? Because we'll see in the Gemara that Reb Lozer now asks Reb Yoshia to explain something in the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, and he speaks to him like a colleague as opposed to speaking to the senior Poisik or the senior Godel Hadar. And therefore, that's why the Gemara emphasizes Reb Yoshia de Dore, Reb Yoshia who lived at the same time, the same door as Reb Lozer. In other words, he was a co-amoira, and therefore he was able to talk to him like one would talk to a colleague, a chavrusa, a friend. Reb Yoshia comes in, and now Reb Lozer says to him, please do me a favor, don't sit down, until you explain yesterday's Mishnah. Now, what was he asking about in yesterday's Mishnah? At the tail end of the Mishnah, back on Ayin Omud Aleph, it told us that the Omer that one brings on the first day of Chol HaMoed, not only does it matter the Chodosh of those, the grain that has already grown and has been harvested or has not been harvested, but even grain which is still in its real infancy, where the seeds are down below underneath the ground, but they have been mushrush. They have sprouted underneath the ground and have formed roots. Even there, the Korban HaOmer is matir them. Now, you probably are saying to yourself, well, who cares? I cannot go and eat from that grain anyway, if it's still in its infancy. No, the point is that obviously these seeds will grow, and the Mi'at Hashem in another month, 2-3 months, they're going to sprout and become beautiful grain, and that grain will be harvested, let's say, 3 months later. You don't have to wait to the Omer Haba the next year. You can go and immediately after the harvest, make them into kemach, into flour, and bake and enjoy. Yes, Robert, I see you have a question.
Who can see under the ground if it's Shemitah or not?
It's a very good question. So the Gemara elsewhere says, I believe that we assume that after 72 hours they have already sprouted. In other words, the Gemara does address this issue, and I think it says 3 days. If not, it says a week. But you're 100% right. If you just put it into the ground 10 minutes ago or even yesterday, that would not be sufficient. It has to be at least 3 days. Then it's, you assume, you don't have to investigate, you can assume that it's mushrosh, and it gets the benefit of this oimer, you don't have to wait till the oimer haba. So now the question of the Gemara is, where do you get this shiur from? Is Barry there? I don't see Barry on the screen.
Barry, unfortunately, asked to be excused today, because he had unfortunately a Levaya to attend.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Do you know whom?
No.
Okay. No, we should hear Psuros Toivis, only Simchas. Anyway, thank you for telling me. Please tell Barry that we missed him. Getting back to the Gemara says now that he asked Rabbi Yoshia, explain to me where does the Mishnah get this from? Second line from the top of Ayin Aleph. Minayin li oimer shematir behashrosha minolon. How do we know that as soon as it's mushrish? Again, you assume that's 3 days before the Korban Omer. The Korban Omer is Matir. So Gemara Dechsiv. So the Gemara is going to now make a number of attempts to find a source that named Omer is Matir Bahashrosha. So the first thing the Gemara says, Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Oviv. Now, what does it say, Oviv, if you have the Torah Or HaSholem? The Pasuk describes the Korban Mincha. We learned it 2 days ago on Shabbos in Parshas VaYikra. And it says, V'imtakrav minchas pikurim l'Hashem. Minchas pikurim, says Rashi in Chumash, is referring to the minchas hu oimer. that you are bringing when? On the first day, Chol HaMoed Pesach. Aviv Koloi Bo'esh Geres Karmel Takriv Eis Minchas Bikurecha. So the Pasuk refers to Aviv. Now what means Aviv? Aviv means that it is, Rashi says, Koloi Bo'esh, meaning that it is sufficiently ripe that you can go and bring for a carbon, not totally unripened. It's got to be Aviv, ripe enough to go and bring for a carbon. So now the Gemara is being medayik. So for purpose of the carbon, it has to be Aviv. Is mashma that if it's less than Aviv, although you can't bring it for a carbon, but nevertheless it's a nitter of the carbon. In other words, although it cannot be a matir if it's less than Aviv, however it can be a nitter, which is less than Aviv. A nitter with this carbon oimer that you shouldn't have to have any more isser of chodosh. Okay, so if it's b'hashrasha, it's less than Aviv. So therefore it's a nitter al yedei ha-carbon, and that's why hashrasha is sufficient. Freiti Mora, that really is a shveret teret. Why? Says the Gemara, noch tichsiv aviv, la mechlal de'ika de'lav aviv. It must be that there's a nitter that is not aviv, which means that it's not fully ripened yet, and nevertheless, it's a nitter as a result of the carbon of the carbon oimer. Freik the Gemara, de'lav aviv, uli oilam di ayoshlish. I agree with you that your diuk is a good diuk, that for purposes of the carbon, it has to be aviv, it has to be fully ripened. Okay, that's good. And the nitter does not have to be fully ripened, lav aviv. But who says hashrasha is enough? Maybe it has to be at least a third of the growth, which is considered to be a choshiva growth. And then you say that it's nitter al yedei carbon oimer, but not if it's just mushrish in the ground. That's pasuk number beis in the Torah Or HaShalem, that shiva shavuos tisbalach, count 7 weeks. Where do you start counting from? When do you start counting from? Mehochel chermesh bakoma. When you take your sickle and you use it against the koma, the standing grain, to go and cut it. Ah, so it's standing grain, that is what's ro'ui for bringing for a carbon. Zok t'yimara, elo mishmul mehochel chermesh, and that's what you bring for your carbon. Lav mechlal de'ika t'laver chermesh. It must mean that there is something which is not a bar chermesh. What would that be? To lav bar chermesh, that it's not a shlish, and it's not fully ripened. Ah, so something less than that. So what's something less? It's mushrish, that's something less. And we're saying about that mushrish, that is a nitter of the carbon hu oime, which is the matir. Frey Timora, you still don't have a good riot. I'm sorry?
How do we say this, what the Gemara is saying? I don't grasp the logic of the derivation. I don't understand how the Gemara derives.
What the Gemara is saying is that there is a requirement that the Minchas HaOmer be of a certain age, if you will. Age meaning that the Tvua is a certain age. So initially we said it has to be Oviv. Oviv means fully ripened. Izach mashma, that there is other grain which is not fully ripened, which is the nitter as a result of this carbon oimer. So the Gemara said, that means even if it's just mushrush in the ground. Frank Gemara, why are you making such an assumption? After all, there's a lot of dargois, a lot of madregois before you get to of if something which is fully ripened. So the Gemara says, maybe it's sufficient when it's at least a third, but not when it's just hashrasha in the ground. Says Shmuel, you're right. Don't learn from Aviv, learn from Hochel Chermesh. Hochel Chermesh, by definition, means that it's ro'ui for harvest, even though it's not fully ripened, because people take their sickle to go and cut it. Ah, so that is the minimum requirement for the ripeness, for the age of this tour to go and bring your korban hu'aymen. Break tomorrow, fine. So what is less than that? Not go all the way to the other extreme, just mushrash in the ground, says the Gemara, maybe la bar chermesh is taka nitter uli olam shachas. Shachas means that it is so little in its growth that you don't use it for bnei adam. It's basically just hay or straw, which you use for animals, for animal feed. And that's obviously more than the hashrasha, but it's far less than the hochel chermesh. You don't normally take your sickle to make a formal harvest. You go and schlep here, schlep there, and you give it to your animals. So maybe that's what is the nitter. So instead of saying in our Mishnah that the Karban Omer is matir, even the seeds which are mushrosh, maybe it's only matir when it's at least the size of shachas. What's the size of shachas? Our Gemara doesn't tell us, but the assumption is that that's less than a shlish. So it's only 10%, 20%. But at least it is sprouted from the ground, and maybe that's what you get the heter with the Karban Omer, but not when it's just mushrosh in the ground. Omer
B'Yitzchak, I don't understand, because normally you say aviv and nothing else. Now, here we're being aviv or you know, chemish to include things. But normally, why not using this as a meal? Just only this and nothing, and not less than this.
Because we're using the aviv and the hochel chermesh, and shortly we're going to use the comma to describe the quality and longevity, if that's the proper term, of the tvua that is being used for the minchas o'omer. Like the first pasuk, v'mtaka minchas bikurim l'Hashem, aviv, this korban o'omer has to be at least aviv. Aviv, the Gemara assumes, means fully ripened. So this is the matir. What does it come to exclude, or what does it come to, if you will, include in its umbrella of
Say exclude anything less than aviv.
And that's what we're excluding, anything less than aviv, to bring for the carbon. However, to be a matir, you gotta be an aviv. To go and be a nitter, you don't have to be an aviv. You could even be a benoy.
Okay.
You don't have to be the grandfather. You could even be the child. Of course, aviv over here doesn't mean father. Just trying to follow Shelley's path of puns. But the point of all of this is that the Oviv suggests, as the Gemara, that for purposes the carbon is a higher standard. And that higher standard is fully ripened. But the Nitarim can go and be less. And that means even a Mushrish. Frank Gemara, okay, I agree with you, it can be less. But why Mushrish? Say Ashlish. Says the Gemara, you're right. Let's not learn from Oviv, let's from Hochel Chermesh. It's got to be Roy for the sickle, which the Gemara assumes is that Shlish. And the nitter is less than the hochel chermesh. What is that less? Even shachas. Good. But only shachas. Who says mushrosh or hashrosh is enough? Maybe the nitter has to be at least shachas. Shachas that you would normally go and just pluck out here and there to go and give to your animals for animal feed. Zarkimar Amr Reb Yitzchak, you're right. Don't learn from aviv. Don't learn from chermesh. But rather go and learn from the word kama. Kama is the next word in the pasuk. Mehochel chermesh ba kama. Kama means anything which is standing out in the field, standing grain. Mechlal, lav mechlal, the lav bar kama. That for purposes of the matir, you need kama standing, which would be at least shachas, at least 10 or 20%. And therefore we're going to exclude the mushrush, which is not kama, which is still under the ground, hasn't even sprouted yet. So the matir requires taka, a kama, 10-20% standing grain, but the nitter is even less than that, and ashrash is enough. Freit Yimara, who says, maybe I agree with your drasha of kama, that it comes to exclude something less, tala bar kama lo'olam agam, maybe it has to be at least the size of an agam. What means an agam? So Rashi quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, halakoif, Agmoin roishoy, and the word agam therefore means grain which is so short that the maximum that you can accomplish is bending it over so that the roishoy reaches the ikar. We have the same concept by tzitzis, that what happens if your tzitzis rip, I'm sure this happens to everybody at least once in their lifetime, and they have just a little bit of psil of tzitzis left, as long as it's large enough to make an aniva. Aniva means a slip knot of some sort, a bow. So that typically people say that you can go, you can bend over and it still reaches the bottom. You have also the same concept, the gabe shaving. They say that if you use a razor, there's nothing left. if there's at least a little stubble that you can bend over. Anyway, the point of all of this is that, Freik de Gemara, I agree. Come is a beautiful drasha to say that the minimum for purposes of the Minchas Oimer has to be standing grain, even if it's theoretically only 10-20% like Shachas. The question, however, is, what does it come to include in the nitter? Don't say something which is mushrish, something which is as long as agam, which Rashi says means that the tzvua is sticking out of the ground, but it is so short that all you can do is bend it over and the roish touches the ikar. I don't know, maybe that's 1 inch, maybe that's 2 inches. It's obviously very, very minimal growth, but it's certainly much more than just hashrasha. So maybe the nitter is only when it's at least out of the ground, and you see it, it's 1 or 2 inches tall, and you can bend it over. Elam Rava, so Rava says, I'll tell you the raya. Because it says in the Pasuk, this is Pasuk Gimel, V'chaga kotzir bikurei ma'asecha asher tizra ba'asode, mishazria, the nitter of the korban oimer is mishazria, from the time that you go and plant it. Oyoyoy, then we're in trouble. If the term planting means you just put in the ground and you cover it over and you're done, even if you did that 10 minutes ago, would you say that that's also included in the nitarim of the korban oimer avad anisht? Because we said in the Mishnah has to be at least mushrush. But you're telling me that the ray is from the word asher tizra mishazria. Amalei sudni basodek siv. We'll explain sudni in a moment, but basodik siv means don't look at asher tizra in isolation, but rather asher tizra basode, that you went and planted it in the field. Why does the Torah add in the field? Of course, you don't plant it in mid-air. You don't go and plant it in the yamsuf. Of course, you plant it in the field. What it means to say is that you've planted it and it's become a resident of the field. If you just planted it a moment ago, then it could be a migrant and the ICE can come after you and pull you out and say you're illegal. However, once it's mushrish, it becomes a resident of the ground. Asher tizra basada, that's the nitter that the korban oimer is matir. So that is our raya, or our makor for our Mishnah that says, as long as it's mushrish, it has the benefit of the korban oimer, it's no longer chodosh, it is now considered to be yoshon, so even though you're going to harvest it only 3 months later, the mushel, at that point, it is still yoshon. You do not have to worry about the iser of chodosh. Now, we skipped quickly over the word sudni. Rashi has two pshat of the word sudni. Pshat number one is sudni means a Talmud chacham. How does he get the title sudni, says Rashi, because it says in the pasuk, soid Hashem li reyav. A Yid who's a Talmud chacham, who's learning Torah, he knows the soidois, the secrets of the Torah, soid Hashem li reyav, and therefore Rashi said the word sudni was a term that one used to use when you greeted another Talmud chacham. So, if you want, anytime a Talmud Chacham comes into the Bismedish, you can go and call him, Sudni. But don't say Sidney, because he might be offended. My name is not Sidney, my name is Shloima, Nishka Sidney. So you can call him Sudni. So that's pshat number one. Pshat number two says, Rashi, Lishnachrina, that the word Sudni means a beer brewer. So why is he calling Rav Papa a beer brewer? The reason is because, in fact, Rav Papa was a beer brewer, and the Gemara Mesachim tells us that Rav Papa became very wealthy from brewing beer, and as a result, he became a tremendous benefactor and a tremendous philanthropist. So not only was he one of the great Amiroim of his day and age, but he was also known as a Groisa Oysher that helped out all of the Aniyim and Avyoinim and people that were struggling with Parnassa. That's the term sudni means a beer brewer. And we go on to the next Mishnah, Rabbi Sai. Look to Mishnah. We had the first part of a Mishnah earlier on in our Gemara, and that was that although you're not allowed to do a ktsira of any of the five minim before the ktsira so oimer, and the reason is because it says in the Pasuk, Reishis ktsirchem, how did I know that this applies not only to barley but also to all five? So the Gemara said yesterday we learned Reishis Ktzirchem from Reishis Arisoy Seichem. Reishis Arisoy Seichem is referring to Chala, Reishis Harisiseichem Chala Turimu Truma. You have to go and be made and be mafresh Truma and give it to Truma. You have to be mafresh Chala and give it to the Kayin from Reishis Harisiseichem. So, just like by Chala, it applies to all five minim. Here too, it applies to all five minim. And you're wondering to yourself, how do you know Chala has all five minim? So you more learned that yesterday, Lechem, Lechem, Vayoba Acholchem, Milechem, Ma'oretz, Turimu Sruma LaHashem. That's talking about the mitzvah of Chala. And by Pesach, it says Lechem Oini. And just like by Pesach, we're talking about all five. Same thing, Legabe Chala is all five. And therefore, the same thing by the din of Ktsira Sa'oimer. The first Ktsira has to be that of the Oimer, not of any other, of any other Ktsira whatsoever, of any of the five minim. But like all rules, there's an exception to the rule. An exception to the rule is that you're allowed to be koitzer beis hashalchen sheba amokim, that you're allowed to go and cut beis hashalchen. Beis hashalchen is a field that requires a lot of rain. Sheba amokim, which is in the emek, in the valley. And what's the story with that type of tvur that grows there? Rashi says, unfortunately, it's very inferior, and it goes bad, it rots very, very quickly. Presumably, the reason is because since it's in the valley, it doesn't get a lot of sun, because it's surrounded by mountains, at least by one or two or three sides. So it only gets sun a couple of hours during the day, from 11 to 1 or something like that. Otherwise, it's pretty cold, and therefore it doesn't grow properly, and it's inferior quality to it. Because it's inferior, it's not roy to be brought for the korban hu oimer, and therefore the Gemara is going to tell us shortly is that the iser of a ktsira prior to the ktsira's oimer only applies to that tvua which is roy for the oimer, but not for tvua which is inferior, which is not roy. We'll see that in Mechim in the Gemara in another 2 or 3 minutes. So koitzim beis hashalcha shema mokim avaloi goitchim. Loi goitchim means don't make a godish, a whole heap out of it. And the reason is, like we said in the earlier Mishnah, because I have a gzeira shema yovoy le'echol. If you're going to go and allow for a godish, for a whole heap of tvua, then people who are working there and people that pass by, and they, those kernels really look delicious, and they may come to go and eat it. You're certainly not allowed to eat before the bringing of the korban ha'omer. So therefore, yes, you can cut it, but then just leave it on the ground. Do not go and make a heap out of it. Anshi Yerichoi.
It's an irrigated field.
An irrigated field. Why is it an irrigated field? Because the natural rainwater is not sufficient, and therefore you have to come on to additional water. That's why it's called irrigated. Well, the reason why you need additional water is because it's a poor ground to go and grow on its own product, and therefore you have to water it. That's called irrigation. And it's the first Mishnah in Masechtas Moed Katan as well, whether you're allowed to go and add water to the Beis HaShalchem, Chol HaMoed, etc. Okay, anyway, back to the Mishnah. Anshei Yerichoi, the people that live in Yerichoi, their fields were fields of Beis HaShalchem, which were inferior quality barley, and therefore, Koitzim Mertzon Chacham. The Chacham said, yeah, you're allowed to be Koitzim, like we just said in the Mishnah, Koitzim, no problem. However, they were goitchen shaloi b'rtzein chacham. The chacham were not happy because we just said a moment ago, koitzen avalei goitchen. And unfortunately, they were goitish. However, v'lei michu b'yadam. It didn't get to the point where the chacham felt that you had to make a big macha of getting together thousands of people making a protest in Madison Square Garden or Yankee Stadium or Times Square. They just made the gzeira. Apparently, this was a type of gzeira which worked, and there were not a lot of people that had this issue of the goitchim. And even when they did the goitchim, the people were pretty, pretty careful not to go and eat anything, so therefore they did not feel it rose to the level that they had to make a major proclamation and a major macha. Now, we just gave one exception to the rule, and that's the Beis HaShalchem, the inferior quality barley. Now let's give another case. Koitzel Shachas. What happens if a person is not going and cutting fully, I don't want to say fully baked tvua, because that would not be appropriate, but fully ripened tvua. That you're not allowed to do, because that's roi to go and bring for a cart. However, if you were koitzel l'shachas, shachas, as we said before, means that it was not fully ripened. It was even less than a shlish so far. We'll see a machlokes momentarily with the yoshlish nishlish. But the purpose of this cutting was because he wanted to take the straw and the chaff and the stubble and feed it to his animal as animal fodder. That you're allowed to do because that's not considered to rise to the level of a ktsira. And the only iser is don't have a ktsira before the ktsira sa'oimer. So even if to go and get out the chachas, it was necessary to go and use a sickle for the mor before it was mashma that they just plucked it out. And that's why mehochel chermesh, and this is lav bar chermesh, it's for chachas. But nevertheless, whichever way you cut it, it's not a machel odem, it's machel behema, and it's very, very unripened. That you're allowed to do, and you're not violating the din of reishis ktzircha. And now we have machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, exactly what the parameters are of this heter. Om Rabbi Yehuda, eimasai, bizman shemaschil, ad shaloi hevi shlish. That's all if you began your cutting when it wasn't even a third of the growth. In other words, it was very insignificant growth. That is not considered to be a real katira, and you don't violate with that the iser of cutting before the ktsiris oimer of the reishis ktsircha. Azei halt Rabbi Yehuda. Note that Rabbi Yehuda says, Eimosai, and the Gemara is going to say on the Amud Beis, as most of you are aware, that when the Gemara uses the term by Rabbi Yehuda, Eimosai, Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to argue, Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain. That we said, Koitzu l'shachas, machal b'haima, there's a second ingredient. It's not enough that he's cutting it for cattle fodder. It's got to be also shlehevi shlish, that it's very insignificant growth of only less than a third, 25%, 20%, whatever. However, Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon oimer yikzer v'yachel, again for machel behema, af mishehevi shlish, even after it became a shlish, no problem. You can go and cut it. So everybody agrees that we're talking L'choyre but machel behema, that's not considered to be a ktsira that violates the din of reishis ktsirchem. The only question is, how much has it grown already? According to Yehuda, it has to be less than a third, according to Shimon. Even if it's more than a third, if he's cutting it for his behemoth, no problem. We're going to explore this more in detail on the Amud Beis. Another few hetterim of ktsira, which is permissible before the ktsira sa'omer, and the Mishnah is going to give in rapid fire three examples of ktsira that was because of a dvar mitzvah. That dvar mitzvah that supersedes the iser of ktsira. In other words, a chulin dika unnecessary ktsira that you cannot do before ktsira sa'omer. Al shei mitzvah, that's a different story. So what are the mitzvahs? Number one, koitzim name netiois. Netiois means young sapling trees. After the person went and planted the seeds in his field to go and produce grain, all of a sudden, one morning, he wakes up and he looks out in the field. Hey, what's growing in the field? It looks like a tree is growing. And in fact, slowly but surely, it became a tree. Since it's becoming a tree, the planting that I did of the tefuah that could cause kilayim problems. So I know you're thinking to yourselves, well, the tefuah came first and the sapling came second, so let's uproot the tree. And apparently the tree's value to the field is greater than the tefuah. After all, the tefuah is just a one seasonal thing. You cut it, and if you want tefuah next year, you got to go and plant it again. While the tree is hopefully going to grow and grow and grow, and it's going to be there for tens of years, hundreds of years, like the sequoia in California, thousands of years. And therefore, says the Gemara, that a person would normally go and pull out the tefuah, and you'll do a ktsir of the tefuah. Netiyah is to keep the trees intact and alive. Rashi says it's talking about that only afterwards the netiyahs grew. Presumably, if the netiyahs were there in the first place, why are you planting your grain there, mister? You're going to have a potential kalayim problem. So it's talking about the netiyahs only started growing after you had already planted the tefuah, and now you're allowed to do the ktsira before the ktsira sa'omer to prevent a kalayim issue. Another heter, Mimnei Beis HaOvel. Now, the word Beis HaOvel is not exactly perfect, because bayis sounds like you're going to somebody's house or apartment. Here we're talking about a temporary Beis HaOvel. If you look at the first wide line of Rashi down below, Rashi reminds us that the minhag was that after the levaya and after the kvura, then there would be some sort of, I don't know if it was a full-fledged sudas havra'ah, but at least temporarily, everybody would sit out in the rachba. Rachba is similar to the word rachoiv, not, of course, not in the middle of the street, but they sat outside of the Beis HaChaim, I guess on some steps or whatever, and then Menachem would be there, and they would even make a special bracha, birchas rachava. We don't have that custom today. However, if you want to see the text of that bracha, it's brought in Masechtas Ksubas. So the Ovel was sitting, the Menachem came, and instead of having only just a minyan, there were 100 people there. And there wasn't enough room for everybody to sit down and speak to the Ovel and wish him the birchas rachava, etc. So they needed to go and have a mokum ponui leishib rachava. Says our Mishnah, it was shortly before Ktziras Oimer time, this was in March, April, and you have standing tvua, you're allowed to cut the tvua for purposes of expanding this temporary Beis HaOvel to be able to go mi Menachem Avin. It's right for a Dvar Mitzvah. And the third case that the Mishnah gives is Mepnei Bittel B'Smedrish. Baruch Hashem, there's a tremendous oilam that came to learn, especially it's now Bein Hazmanim right before Pesach. All the Talmidim are coming back from Yeshiva, etc. And they're all being Kaveya Limud. They go into the Besmedish. There's not enough room. But the Olam needs to go and he can't stand the whole day whilst you're learning. You have to be able to sit down. So you've got to go and clear out some of the Kama, some of the standing grain, to have room for people to sit down to go and learn. Okay, so these are all for Dvar Mitzvah. Now, even though you're allowed to go and do that type of cutting, but Lo Yasa Oysen Krichois, don't say, okay, since I'm harvesting already this grain, let's bundle it and get ready for your shipping out to the granary to go and thresh it, etc. No, don't make bundles. Amanichem tzvasim. Tzvasim means you can go and leave them together, like piled together, to eventually take a rope or a string or whatever and tie them into bundles. But in the meantime, just leave them there, sitting, lying on the field. Mitzvah sa'oyim alavim in a kama. L'chadchila on the night of Matzi Yontif, when you're cutting the Ktziris Oimer, you should cut a minakama from standing grain. Loi matza, what happens if you went all over and you didn't find any standing grain? You only found grain that had already been cut. Of course, one should not have cut the grain before then, because of the simple reason, Reishis Ktzircha. But you didn't have any other barley. What are you supposed to do? Loi matza. You have a min ha'omritz, and then you have to go and take from the bundled barley. Mitzvasi lovi min halach. As you remember, we had in the Pasuk, Mar said, karmel, rach umol, or karmole. Remember, that's a contraction of two words. So, it's got to be min halach, fresh, and supple, and moist, and gishmak. But lo yimatz, if you didn't find, you have a yavish. And you have no choice, you have no choice. Then go and take dried out tvur. Mitzvasi lichter balayla. You're supposed to do it that night, right after Havdalah. What happens if you couldn't find that night, or you had to go and travel, and you didn't to b'yoyim is also kusha. L'chatil to b'layla, but b'yoyim is also good. For doichas Shabbos, it's even doichas Shabbos, because you have to go and bring the korban ha'omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed, so you got no choice. It's even doichas Shabbos, and you remember we had, in fact, a Mishnah, whether or not there's a distinction between the amount that you cut on that night of a Shabbos. Whether you do only the regular three, whether you can do five saw or only three saw, to memayit in potential chil shabbos. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. It says that you're allowed to be koitzer the Beis Hashloch and Shiba Mokim, and you remember Brother Shai told us that that is referring to fields that require irrigation. And we mentioned earlier that Barry was not with us because of a levaya. Good news, Barry is with us. Hopefully that means it was Tchias HaMesim and there was no Levi. Anyway, getting Barry, it's great to see you. Great to have you here to share as always. Tazimor, Tanya. Reb Ben Yomen Oimer, Kosovechon Oimer Ktzartim Es Ktzira. The Gemara feels that we have what appears to be a contradiction. The Ktsira is referring to the field. Right? I'm giving you a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. Go ahead and go and do the Ktsira of this land at the time of harvest. In other words, at the Zman of Katsir. And Vaveisim is Oimer, and then subsequently bring the carbon Oimer, and that carbon Oimer will be from the Reishit's Ktsirchem Alakoyin, from the very first Katsir. Like we've said for the last few minutes, that's the reason why you're not supposed to cut prior to the Ktsiris Oimer, because it's supposed to be the Reishit's Ktsirchem. So, Frank the Gemara, Lechoyin have the Stira. I'm saying in the beginning of the Pasuk, Tzartim is Ktsira, go ahead and harvest whatever you need for the land. Go and bring the Oimer, and the Oimer should be from the Reishis Ktirchem. But I already did a Ktartim as Ktira. So it sounds like the Oimer is not the Reishis Ktirchem, but a regular Ktira is fine even prior to the Ktira, so Oimer. So Frank Timora, Tanya Rabbi Yom and Oimer. Kosovechot Oimer, one part of the Pasuk says Ktartim as Ktira. Meaning, do your regular normal Ktira, no issue, and then bring the Oimer. But it says Reishis Ktsirchem Elakoyim. This is supposed to be the very first Katsir. So it seems to be an inconsistency. Everything what Hakeit said. Mimokim Shata maybe I ata koitzer. Mimokim Shata maybe ata koitzer. What the Gemara is saying is that in fact both terms are correct. Sometimes you can have a Ktsira prior to the Ktsira Sa'oimer, prior to the Reishis Ktsirchem, and other times no Chas V'Shalom. You can only do the first katsir, the Reishis Ktsirchem, for the carbon oimer. So, what's the distinction? Okay, so in Malkum Shata, maybe if it's the type of ground, type of field, that you can go and bring tvua from it, because it is good quality soil, good quality nutrients and minerals, which are going to go and produce wonderful grain. Oh, if you're able to be maybe carbon oimer from there, i'ata koitzer. You're not allowed to do a prior private ktsirah. Awesome. Reishis ktsirchem. Mimokim shi'ata maybe. However, if you're talking about a beis hashalchem, where nobody would go and take that type of grain for purpose of carbon oimer because it's inferior, then that's a koitzer. Then you're allowed to do a ktsirah, and that's the ktartim es ktsirah. Oh, so now we know the basis of the Mishnah. Frank Timora, once you're making that distinction, I have a much more fundamental distinction to make. Instead of talking about the quality of the barley, we said before that the din of Reishis Ktsirchem applies across the board to all five Minei Dagon, the Chitim and the Kusman, etc. My friends, you cannot bring a carbon oimer from chitim and from kusmin and shiboyle shul and from shipoin. You can only bring it from barley. If you can only bring it from barley, all those other four minim you should be able to go and cut before the ktiras oimer, because it's a mokum shiata maybe. Freitimar aimam mi min shiata maybe yata koitzer. From barley, don't have an earlier ktira. Am a min shiata maybe, meaning from the chitim and the other stuff, yo ata koitzer. It's a wonderful, wonderful drasha. Evni mahula matas amris mid Rabbi Yochanan. Based on the psukim that we've had so far, you're right. But don't forget Rabbi Yochanan. Who's Rabbi Yochanan? If you go back to the Amud days of yesterday, about three quarters down the Amud, you'll see that the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, "Valikta lefnei oimer," you're now allowed to go and cut Ktsira before the oimer. I mean, not immediately, that this applies across the board to all five Minei Dagon. How do you know? Rabbi Yochanan, Asya Reishis, Reishis Mechalet. Here it says Reishis Ktsirchem, and there it says Reishis Arisoisechem Chala Terimus Ruma. And just like the din of Chala applies across the board to all five Minei Dagon, same too. The Reishis Ktsirchem applies to all five Minei Dagon, even though that four out of the five you cannot bring for a carbon. So now there's a clash, if you will, between the two psukim. Here we're telling us that according to Rabbi Yochanan, make sure that the Ktsira Sa'oimer is the very first Ktsira, even vis-a-vis the other four minim. But didn't we just have a drasha, Uktartim is Ktsira, that You cannot go and bring chitin. So to go and make these two psukim consistent, the first rush that we said until now means look at barley. Good quality, oser to do a ktsira before that. Bad quality, you're mutter to do a ktsira. And now, however, when you're talking about the five minim, regardless whether you can bring them or not, meaning the four minim you cannot bring, only barley, the Rabbi Yochanan says, based on the pasuk, you're not allowed to cut any of that prior to the ktsira suwaina. Okay, continuing on the Mishnah, Zok the Mishnah. Anshi Yerichai, they had this issue of Beis Shalchin Shibah Mokim, so therefore they were Koitim Toim Chacham, the Goitshin Shaloi Berch Toim Chacham. Because we said in the Mishnah, don't do a Goitish. They did do a Goitish, that was Shaloi Berch Toim Chacham, but Loi Michu. They did not make a Macham. Zokimar, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Man Shamas Lady Oma Michu Veloi Michu. Who do we find in a Braisa or in a Mishnah that holds that certain times the Chachamim felt that if you don't listen to the Gzeira, you have to make a Gantza Macha, with a Gantza proclamation. And where do we find that Loi Michu, sometimes they were not Moicha? In other words, this concept of making a Macha, Nish making a Macha, who is the one that is the author of it, so to speak? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Where do we find this Rabbi Yehuda? In the Braisa that we're going to have in another moment. Are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda, who is the mastermind of the Micha Halacha, he is the Tan of our Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda that we're going to quote momentarily holds that Ktsira b'beishalchin is also Osir Midrabanon, just that they were not Moich. In our Mishnah it says you're allowed to do a Ktsira in the Amokim, in the Beis Shalchim, because it's inferior. And in fact, the Anshi Yerichai did that, Lechatchila, nothing wrong, Bertzoin Chachamim. It was just the Giddush, Shaloi Bertzoin Chacham. But Loi Michu, who's the one that holds Loi Michu? That's Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda holds in not only the Giddush is Osir, even the Ktsira is Osir, and that's also Shaloi Bertzoin Chachamim. Yeah, where's that Rabbi Yehuda? So if you want about Tani, we have a Braisa. The Tana Kama of the Braisa is Rameir. It's going to take us 5 or 6 lines to get to Rabbi Yehuda. So what does the Tanna Kamma say? Shish Dvarim also Anshi Yerichai. Anshi Yerichai had 6 particular practices. Shloish B'tzayin Chacham, 3 of them were B'tzayin Chacham. The Chacham said, Yo, good Kitan. Ushloish Shloi B'tzayin Chacham, and 3 were against the Ratzin Chacham. Ve'elish B'tzayin Chacham. Which ones were B'tzayin Chacham? Markivin, the Kolim Kolayoyim, the Korchen Eshma, the Koitzim of Neo'imer B'tzayin Chacham. They had 3 minhagim, 3 practices. One practice was markivin de kolim kol hayoyim. This is referring to Erev Pesach. As we know, after Chatzos and Erev Pesach, one's not supposed to do melacha. Nevertheless, they were markiv de kolim. Markiv de kolim means that they took young branches of young saplings and they grafted them onto older trees. And we already discussed that briefly yesterday, the Gabi Hilchus Orla. Here we're not dealing with Hilchas Arla, we're just talking about the fact that they would go and graft them on the trees on Erev Yontif after Chatzos. Now you're not supposed to do any Melacha after Chatzos. However, those that did it were so proficient and so professional, it was considered to be something very, very, very simple. It did not require a lot of exertion and energy, and therefore they did not consider this to be a real Melacha. And that's what they did on Erev Yontif. And as we'll see in a moment, the Chachamim were not happy with this. We'll see. Anyway, again, with this grad that they were okay with. Markim in the Kolim Kalayoyim, the Korchen Eshema. Korchen Eshema, says Rashi, they were not careful to divide up between one word and the other. In other words, they didn't say Shema, Yisrael, Hashem, Elikeinu. Certainly there's nothing wrong with that. However, they said it a little bit more quickly. Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Lekeinu, Hashem, Echad, without any pauses or spaces. The Koitzim of Nei Oimer, and they also did Ktsira. Oh, this is Unzer Mishnah. They did Ktsira before the Oimer, because they had the Beis HaShalchin, which was inferior. All of these 3 B'tzen Chacham, the Chacham said, okay. B'tzen Chacham doesn't necessarily mean that they were dancing, but they were not, they did not make any Gzeiris, that's okay. So note, we had 3 until now. The Akovis Tekonim, Korchim Shema, Koitzim of Neoimir, that's three. Now we got three more. The Brisa said there were six altogether, right? Three Bitzayim, three Shaloi Bitzayim. What are the other three? The other three Shaloi Bitzayim, that was Goitzim of Neoimir. That we said in the Mishnah, you're not supposed to do a Gdisha, that's Shaloi Bitzayim Chacham. Umatirim Gomzios Shal Hegdish Shal Chorub Visho Shikma. That Gomzios are the branches of these two types of trees. Which types of trees are they? Chorev is a boxer tree, and Shikma is a sycamore tree. And Rashi says that the wood of these trees was nice and strong, and they were frequently used for koirois, beams for construction. So this was strong branches, and they were matter them. Matter means they allowed for cutting these down, even though they were hegdish trees. Why were they hegdish trees? So Rashi says on the Amud Beis, because previous generations that owned these two trees, the Chorib and the Shikma trees, had been maktish them. Now since they were maktish them, clearly the trees themselves were hegdish. The question is, are you allowed to go and cut the gomzios, which are the branches of these trees, to be able to go and use them for simple koirois in a simple binyan, which was not shel hegdish? They were matter. Why were they matter? Because they said these are only gidulei hegdish, they're not the ikr. The ikr is sake hegdish, but the gidulei hegdish is garnished. That's what they said in Yerichai. So that these three customs, we didn't get to the third one yet. Uparts and parotzeis bigagoi seim, uparts and seim, vahachel neshel aniyim mishnei betzoides, b'shabosu b'yam toivim. They used to go and make holes in their fences during the week. And the purpose of making those holes is so that if any fruit would fall down from the trees on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, we would normally look upon that as being muktza or noilod. They made a hole in their fences so that the aniyim, who are nebuch, very, very hungry, should be able to come by on Shabbos or on Yom Tov to take any of the fruits that are nesher. Nesher means shenoshru, they fell down on the ground. What would be the problem of leaving those fruits on the ground that they, one should take it on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Muktzah or noilid? But what's the reason for the muktzah or noilid, says Rashi? It's a gzeira that he's going to go and eat from the fruit from the ground, and he say, hey, I see a brother of that fruit, a twin, which is still on the tree. I'm sure within the next 24, 48 hours it's going to fall off. And he's going to go be matir, and he's going to go and eat, pull the fruit off the tree on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, which obviously would be prohibited. And so therefore says the Chacham, even though they meant well by making these holes in the wall so the aniyim should be able to go and take from fruit on the ground, b'shnei betzoides, during hunger years, but they did on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the Chachamim were not happy with these three customs. Okay, so we have three customs that they were not happy with, and that is the Goitshim of Nei Omer, which is consistent with our Mishnah. Also that they were matir, they come to Yishol Hegdish, they said, Yiduli Hegdish are fine, and that they made these holes in the wall and allowed them to go and take the Nesher on Shabbos. This is Ramei, Omer Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda, in Bertzoin Chachamim Hein Oisim, on the first three customs, the Akavas and the Kolim, Karchim Shema, and the Ksir Sa'imer, if the Chachamim said, your justice is good, then you call Adam Oisim Kain. Then everybody's going to do that, not just the Anshe Yerichai. So why does the Brisa say the Anshe Yerichai had these three practices? And it was Bertzoin Chachamim. Spread the custom to Gans Klal Yisrael. So the people living in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak and Beit Shemesh and wherever they're living throughout Eretz Yisrael, should be able to go and do also Har Kodesh Tekolim on Erev Yom Tov, etc. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, Ela Eilu Ve'Eilu Shloi Bitzoin Chacham, all six, the first three and the final three, were all Shloi Bitzoin Chacham. So what was the difference between the three and the three? V'Shloi Shem Michu B'Yadam, V'Shloi Shloi Michu B'Yadam. So it's Rabbi Yehuda that introduces this Indian of being Moicha. They were Shloi Michu B'Yadam, which were the ones that were not Moicha? Mark even the Kolim, Kol Hayoyim. The Korchin Es Shema. The Koitzin, the Goitzin, the Fnei Oimer. That's the first category of the three, which were shaloi b'tzayin chachamim, but the chachamim were not moicha. Now notice, it's not really three, it's actually four, because when Remeir listed the three, he only listed the markivin, the kolim, korchin eshima, the koitzrin lifnei oim. That was the three. Those were b'tzayin chachamim, said Remeir. The ones that were not b'tzayin chachamim, that was the goitzrin. That was the first of the next group of three. Here we have four. Markivin the kolim, korchin eshima, the koitzrin, the goitzrin lifnei oim. On all four. All four of these we're saying were shaloi b'tzayin chachamim, but loi michu. Now the final three is Ve'ele Shemichu B'yadim, that were not only Shalei B'Tzen Chacham, but the Chol Meir Agansa Macha. What were those? Matir and Gom Zeh Shal Hegdish, Shal Chorev and Shal Shikma, like we had before, and they claimed that these were not being Moil B'Hegdish, because these were only Gidulim. Uparitz and Protz is B'Gag Yisayin, or it says B'Gino Yisayin, Begino is saying that means their gardens. Well, pardes saying and their pardes means their orchards. So these two we had before, but now we're missing the third one, the goydish, because we threw the goydish into the first category of the first three, and we made it four. So you only have two now. So now we add one more. But nice and payah liyerek. They also gave payah in those fields where they only grew vegetables, which is not required. The Torah only talks about peyah from dogon fields as well as from trees, but you don't have peyah from vegetables. So you're saying to yourself, okay, so what's wrong with that? That's very nice. They're being very charitable. They're giving peyah even though it's not required. Yeah, but it's a kula hamevi lidei chumra. And that is, since you are required to give meiser and truma from the Yerek, if you're going to go and give Peah, which goes to the Aniyim, then you're not going to be removing the Trumas and the Maestras, and the Aniyim are also not going to remove the Trumas and Maestras, and they're going to eat something which is Tevel. Therefore, the Chamur Moicha Micha B'Yadam. Anyway, with this we have finally concluded the Braisa, and we probably forgot what our question was. Our question was, it says in the Mishnah, that in Yerichoy, they were Koitzer and Goydish. The Koitzerin was Ritzayn Chacham. The Goydishin was Shaloi Ritzayn Chacham. But they were not Moich. Now who's the one that even introduces the concept of being Moich and not Moich? That was Rabbi Yehuda. Because remember, a mayor only made the distinction Ritzayn Chacham, Shaloi Ritzayn Chacham. He didn't talk about the Macha. So it's Rabbi Yehuda that introduced this Macha business. So presumably, he is the Tan of our Mishnah. But it says in our Mishnah that the Ktsira was Birtzoin Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braisa, no, Eilu ve'eilu shaloi Birtzoin Chachamim, including the Tzira. So I have a Tzira between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, if our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, because it says Loi Michu, and Rabbi Yehuda is the author and the craftsman, the mastermind of the Michu and Loi Michu, so he's the Tana. Our Mishnah says that Koitzim Birtzoin Chachamim. And here in Rabbi Yehuda, in this price, it says that among the first four, Koitzin Shaloi B'Ritzayin Chachamim. Every Gemara, the Braisa has a printing mistake. What's the printing mistake? V'latamech Shisha Shivahava. Remember when we learned the Braisa, we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have seven categories, four in the Reisha, three in the Sefer. We said there are only six. Elasam Mikan Ksira. Take out the word Ksira from the Reisha. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is referring to six, that all cases is Shaloi B'Tzayin Chacham. The first three is Loi Michu. The second three, Michu. But Ksira, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was B'Tzayin Chacham, like it says in our Mishnah. So therefore, it's not appropriate to list that in the price, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's appropriate like Remeir, because Remeir holds that Ktsira happens to be among the first three, which was Birtzayin Chacham. But since according to Rabbi Yehuda, all of these are Shaloi Birtzayin Chachamim, why does it say Ktsira? So take out the word Ktsira and only learn Goitchen Lefnei Moimer. Okay, Zukti Mori Yitzvait. Koitz L'Shachas Amachal Abahim. Again, another exception to the rule of a Ktsira, private Ktsira Soimer, is if you're doing a ksira l'shachas for just for the hay, for the stubble, and you're going to feed it to the animal. And then you remember we had a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether we're talking about a third or not a third. It's not us. We go off initially on a tangent, and we talk about Hilchos Peah, and then we're going to come back in Yetzer Shem shortly and show why we brought it and the connection to our Mishnah. Tanan also we learned in Masechtas Peah, Ve'ilu Mafsikin LePeah. Mafsikin LePeah means that every field that you own, you have to go and give Peah from that field. What is the sheer Peah they have to go and give? There is no shear of payah, but you have to give at least something. Okay, so you're giving something for the payah. Now the question is, what's the definition of the word field? We all know what a field is. However, what happens if you have a big, big farmer, big in the sense that he has a lot of farms, a lot of fields? Eventually, they're not all going to be one plain playing field. There's going to be some natural lines of demarcation between one field and another, and once it becomes a second field, then you have to go and give a second amount of pay. So says the Mishnah, in between your fields there is a brook, a river that flows through. Or it doesn't even have to be a full-fledged river, it can even be a shlulis. Shlulis means the water after a rainfall, or after it's rained, and then you see the water flowing in different directions. For instance, in Manhattan, you see that the sewage corners, you see the water coming in from different directions, from the street, from the northern part of the street, from the southern part of the street, all flowing down into that sewer. So here the shlulis is also that rainwater that is flowing through the field. Or derech hayoch v'derech harabim. Derech hayoch, it says Rashi, means it's four amos wide. Derech Harabim means it's 16 amas wide. So you own fields on both sides of this, either 4 amas derech or the Derech Harabim, the Rishus Harabim. Or it can even be something much, much, much smaller than that. Even a Shvil Harabim, a Shvil HaYachad, HaKavua, B'Yemaisach Ham, B'Yemaisach Sham. If you have a path that people use, let's say, as a shortcut to go to Shul on Shabbos and the like. So as long as it's Kavua, that it's used throughout the year, not only during the summer months when it's dry, but even during the winter months when it's usually muddy, that's also considered to be a line of demarcation in the field, and therefore separate payah from one side and the other side. As well as the habur. Bor means that you left the field fallow for a year, which is very common among farms and farmers. So that fallow field, again, is considered to be a hefsik between the two other fields to the right and to the left. Vanir. Nir is just like bor. You didn't plant anything. However, you did plow the field. The reason why you plowed it is that hopefully gets the benefit of all the nutrients and all the fertilizer and the rain and the dew and all the rest. Yeah, but you're not planting anything. That's also considered to be a hefsik. The zera'acher. And if you planted another type of food item in between. In other words, you had to the right and to the left, you had wheat, and in the middle you planted onions, potatoes or something, a different zera. And we're talking about a situation where there was no kilayim concern. Okay, that's also separating between the wheat field on the right and the wheat field on the left, and therefore you have to go and give separate pay. And now the clincher, why are we bringing this whole Mishnah? The koitzel l'shachas. What happens if you have a huge, huge wheat field, and in the middle of the field, you go and prematurely cut some shachas? Shachas means, as we had in our Mishnah, stubble or hay or chaff or whatever, not fully grown, fully ripened. In fact, the suggestion of the Gemara earlier was less than a third. We'll see about that momentarily. So because of the shachas, that's also mafsik, by the fact that you cut in the middle, and then to the right and to the left, you left all that shachas to continue growing and growing and finally becoming fully grown wheat. But in the middle, you were koitz the shachas, also mafsik, and you're going to have to go and give peya mikol echad v'echad. both sides. No, it's not mafsik. El im kein chorosh, unless besides going and cutting l'shachas, after that chorosh, he went and plowed it, and then it would fit into the same category as the nir that we had two lines above. Once you did a chorosh, it's a nir, I mean it's a plowed field, then it's a hefsi. But otherwise it's not a hefsi. Now what are the svaris of Remeir and the Chacham? So the Gemara is going to develop that over the next few lines, but the key to understanding the next Gemara is we're going to try to slot Remeir into one of three shittos. We already had a machloikis in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, what is considered to be shachas for purposes of ktsira before the ktsiras hu oimer, where we send the Mishnah, it's mutter if it's koitzel shachas. Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says only if it's less than a third, and Rabbi Shimon said even if it's more than a third. So we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and we're also going to have finally a Rabbi Akiva from a Braisa or another Mishnah down below. So now we're going to try to slot in Remeir into one of those three shittos. We're talking about totally different halachas. Our Mishnah is talking about a premature ktsira prior to the ktsira sa'omer, but it was only for animals. It was for cattle fodder, and that's why it was shachas. Our Gemara, on the other hand, is talking about the chiyuv of giving peyah on the right field and the left field of the middle field, which was the shachas field. And we're going to equate them for purposes of, is that considered to be a ktsira or not a ktsira? The Chachamim are very, very simple. The Chachamim say, ein mafsik. Even though I am now cutting this tzvua for shachas, let's just give an example, a month prior to the harvest season, but it's just an early preliminary harvest. I didn't have the patience of waiting the next 30 days because I needed some of the shachas to go and serve to my cattle, but it's just an early stage in the ktsira. So don't consider this to be a hafsik. It's as if I'm harvesting the entire field, bakol mikol kol, but I'm doing it in installments and increments. And therefore that's why it's not mafsik and I only have to go and give one payer for the whole field. Remeir said, no. This cutting of the shachas is not considered to be a tchilas ktsira because it's not a real ktsira. Real ktsira is when it's fully ripened and you're being koitzer lemachal odom, not when you do it when it's unripe and you do it lemachal behema. That's not considered to be a ktsira. Since it's not considered to be a ktsira, it's as if you are causing the middle of the field to become like boor, like fallow, and therefore that's why it separates between the two right and left fields, and they have to go and give separate pay. So the Gemara started off and wanted to know who is this Remeir. Amra Baba Bachana, Amra B'Yochanan, Remeir B'Shitas Reb Shimon Amra. Remeir is consistent with our Reb Shimon of our Mishnah. The Amra, what did Reb Shimon say? Legabi Hilchois, Ketzira of Shachas, before the Ketzira Se'oimer. Toma Yitzar V'Yachal Am Mishal Yishlish. You're allowed to go and cut in the field a Ketzira prior to the Ketzira Se'oimer. If you're doing it Lemachal Baheima, even if it's a viyoshlish. How do I know that we're talking about machal behema? Because if you go back to the Mishnah said that koitzel shachas umachal behema om Reb Yehuda, as long as it's not a shlish, Reb Shimon says af mishahevi shlish. But it's all modifying koitzel shachas machal behema. Ah, okay. So the Gemara assumes therefore that Remeir holds like Reb Shimon, and just like Reb Shimon says in our Mishnah, Yitzar V'Yachal Af Mishavi Yishlish, because Al Nekasova Kol L'Shachas Lav Ktsirahi, it's not a bona fide Ktsira as we think of a harvest, and that's why it's mutter to do that Ktsira before the Ktsira Sa'im. Al Nekasova Kol L'Shachas Lav Ktsirahi. Same thing, Remeir holds when you do that Ktsira L'Shachas, even if it's Mishavi Yishlish, it's not considered to be the tchilas ktsira. It's what you're doing is you're causing the middle of the field to now be fallow. That's boor. That's why you have to go and give peya l'chol echad v'echad, both to the right and to the left. After Rabbi Mechana Rabbi Yochanan said this, Yosef Rabbi Vekamalo Lahashmaitza, he repeated this Shtikl Torah, and Eisvir Rabach Barhuna L'Rava. So there are those that are goyis instead of Yosef Rabba, Yosef Rava, and now Rabach Barhuna now is challenging Rav, and he said, I have a Braisa. And the Braisa again talks about cutting the Tvua early on. But we're not talking about a person cutting it, we're talking about the natural forces of nature. Of course, there is no such thing as nature halachically, even derech hateva, that is all preordained by Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, but as you'll see, we're talking about natural forces, not a person cutting. So, och l'chogav, you go into the field and you see that the chagavim, the haishrikin, otherwise known as the grasshoppers, ate up the tvua, or karsamu in the mullim, or the ants, they cut down the tvua. Rashi says, what's the difference between och l'chogav and the nemolim? The chogav go and eat the top part of the tvua, while in the nemolim they go and cut down below and they undermine the tvua. But bottom line is that tvua is now falling, either because the grasshoppers are eating it or because the nemolim are crawling down below and cutting it to size. Or shavas haruach, where there was a big, big storm and the ruach came and broke all of the standing kama. Hakol moidim, everybody agrees now, legabi hilchoy's giving payah, that charash mafsik. If after this happened, the person, the farmer went and he did a full charisha, so now he made it into a stay near a plowed field, then it's mafsik and you have to go and give payah to the right and to the left. V'loy charash, however, if he did not make a charisha after that, he just let the field be the way it is. Ein mafsik. Now, since the Braisa uses the term hakol moedim, who is the person that is the bar plukta of the Rabbanan in that prior Mishnah, legabe whether koitzel l'shachas is mafsik or ein mafsik? Jokti Gemara l'choirem must be remei, man remei. So now the Gemara wants to know, aren't we being soiser ourselves? Remei is being soiser. How is he being soiser? In the case above, where we said that the person did a ketzir l'shachas, that's mafsik, because it's not considered to be a tchilas ketzir. And therefore, you're going to have to make a separate payah on the right and the payah on the left, l'chol echa v'yachat. Here, however, when you had a similar ketzir l'shachas, not done by Bnei Adam, but done by the forces of the chagovim, the nemolim, or the ruach, what did we say? If he did not do a charisha, it's mafsik. Don't we have a problem with stira meir meir? Because Rameir said that even loy charash, remember if you go back to the original Mishnah, Rameir said, koitzel l'shachas is mafsik, period. The chum say, it's not mafsik elam kin charash. So the chum are the ones that distinguish between yo charash and nish charash. This price is similar, that it distinguishes between Choresh Mafsik and Choresh Eima Mafsik. And we're saying it's Akal Moedim, which means even according to Rameir, by the previous Mishnah, Rameir said there is no difference between Choresh and Eima Choresh. It's Mafsik. Here he's saying Akal Moedim, it's even Rameir agrees that there's a difference between Choresh and Eima Choresh. So Iyamres Bishloima, this is now the Rav Acher Bar Huna continuing his challenge of Rav. And he's saying, Iyamres Bishloima Masisa Bishloia Vyishlish, if you were to go and say that the Mishnah above, that is the Mishnah in Masechtas Peah, about the Mafsik L'Peah, is talking about that when the person was Koitzer L'Shachas, it was V'Shloyeh V'Yishlish, therefore says Rameh, that is not a bona fide halachic Ketzira, it's just leaving the middle of the field fallow, empty, and that's the reason why you have to give Peah L'Cholecha V'Yechah to the right and to the left. Braisa that says that a meir is moida, it's talking about the chorish in le chorish loy, it's talking about b'shehevishlish or b'shehevishlish. It was mevishlish. Ah, so then this becomes now like a tchilas ktsira, because a third of the growth is considered to be meaningful. Since it's meaningful, if you went and cut that third of the growth, then that's the reason why you started off the ktsira already. And if you didn't do a charash, then you'd be potter from giving peyah l'cholecha v'yach, and you only have to give one peyah, because this is just a long harvest season. He already started harvesting the shachas after it was higia shlish, and he's going to continue mention next time, tomorrow and next week, and the next 3 weeks, he's going to cut and cut and cut and cut. So therefore, it's all part of one long harvest season. That's why you only have to give one peyah. So that would work very nicely to show that there is no stira meir meir. The Mishnah above that does not distinguish between Chorish and Loi Chorish is talking about Loi Hevi Yishlish. The Braisa that we just brought now, that Gavi the Chagovim and the Nemolim, is talking about the Hevi Yishlish. Ah! Eliyamris Masis and Nami the Hevi Yishlish, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah above, Remei, holds like Rib Shimon. What did Rib Shimon say in the Mishnah? Yikta Viachal Afmisha Hevi Yishlish. Lu Oibazoi. Hashdu Mahasav, I'm going to make you a Kal V'choymer. Madach over there in that Mishnah, the Ktsira, now it's not the Hasam, it's Ktsira the Adam, that was a Ktsira, man Ktsira. In other words, a person manned the cutters that cut down that Shachas. So that obviously was an intentional cutting. If you're going to go and call that Omer Emeh, Loishma Ktsira, that's not considered to be a beginning of the harvest. Because if it would be a beginning of the harvest, then you'd only have to go and give one payah for the whole field. But this is not considered to be a ksira, it's considered to be leaving the middle of the field fallow, even though you have men working in the field. Hacha, in the Braisa where you're talking about, there were no men working in the field. It was the Chagovim and the Nemolim and the Ruchais that could cause this Shachas to fall. And nevertheless, you go and say that it is considered to be a ktsira, and therefore if it's mafsik, frey timara, hochalei koshkeng, certainly I should go and say that if a ktsira al yidei odom is not a ktsira, certainly a ktsira al yidei chagovim in a molim should not be considered a ktsira. And if it's not considered to be a ktsira, I should have to go and give peyel chol echad v'echad, even without a charisha. I don't need to come to the charish to be mafsik. We just said now it's not a ktsira. Says Gemara, Ma Hosam the Ktsira the Odam Remeis Leishma Ktsira, and therefore it's just leaving the field fallow. Then certainly, when you have the Chagovim and the Molim, they're not intending to make a Ktsira, so it should also be considered to leave it fallow. So even without a subsequent Harisha, it should be Chayv L'Chol Echad V'Yechad Hachalei Koshkein. And so therefore, that Rabbi Yochanan said that Remeir B'Shitas Rabbi Shimon Amra. That seems to be a difficult pshat. And therefore, Ella says in Gemara, I have a better pshat. Ella maybe she says Rabbi Yehuda Amar. That's Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? The Amar Emas say, when do I say that you can do a ktsira l'shachas l'behema pre-ktsira saimer? Bizman shehizchel ad shaloi hei nishlish. Ah, because we didn't go and cut it a full third. That's why, since it was not cut a full third, this is not considered to be a ktsira. This is considered to be like leaving the field fallow in between. And that's why the Mishnah says, you have to give peyah l'chol echad v'yachad. Avlam in hischel achei vishlish, if you're telling me that he started achei vishlish, already, it was already a third, asur, then it's tak asur. Ah, so what the Gemara is saying now is, l'chol, this pshat works very nicely. That would be the difference between the Mishnah up above, where a mayor says this is not deemed to be a ktsira, because it was less than a third, so it was not the beginning of the harvest, but you're just leaving the field fallow in the middle, that's why you have to give peyah, the chalecha, the echad, to the right and to the left. Why did this price about the chagovim, that's talking about Shehidi Shlish, it was already more than a third. Ah, more than a third, then it's deemed to be a ktsira. Since it's deemed to be a ktsira, it's just hascholas ktsira. Hascholas ktsira, you don't have to go and give peyah l'cholecha v'yachad, unless you did a charisha. That's why charish in, loy charish loy. Also l'choira, that pshat that Remeir stims with Reb Yehuda is a good pshat. Freitimar, no. Ein l'shamis le'Reb Yehuda l'behema, l'odem y'shamis le'y. When did we find out that Reb Yehuda holds that this is a din of ktsira, and it's a permissible ktsira before the ktsira is omer? That's when you're talking about ktsira for behema, because that's what it said in our Mishnah. what type of ktsira is permissible if you do shachas lebehemtoi. So but we never found the gabi adam. And here the top raisa or the top mishnah, the ilam afsik and the peyer, where a mayor says koitzel shachas is mafsik. He didn't say necessarily this was bebehema. It could be that he was koitzel shachas because he wanted to use that to make a fire. He was koitzel shachas because he wanted to use that for insulation in his walls. Whatever you use shachas for, to make mats to sit on, to go and insulate, or not insulate, to fill up your mattress with straw for purposes of sleeping. So Ibazoi, that Mishnah is talking even about Adam. If it's talking about Edom Adam, so how do we know that that is the same as cutting the behemtoi? So Freik Timura, aim the Shabbos leader, Behuda the behema. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds in our Mishnah, that that ktsira is permissible before the ktsira soimer. But if you're doing the adam, yishamis lay. Maybe you'll agree, if you're doing for adam, then it's considered to be a ktsira, and it's awesome. The imkain, because if you're going to go and tell me that that's taka Rabbi Yehuda holds the gabi adam, havalut losa tanoi. We're going to have three separate tanoim. What means we're going to have three separate tanoim? We're going to have Reb Meir, we're going to have Reb Yehuda, and we're going to have Reb Shimon. The what's the problem of having a three-way machlekes explains Rashi, because remember when we learned our Mishnah and the Tana Kama said what type of ktsira prior to ktsira so'imer is mutter if you're machl, you're doing shachas and machl and behaima. Om Rabbi Yehuda Eimosai, when did the Tana Kama say that shachas machl and behaima? Bizman shemachl achle heimishlish. If you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds now like Remeir, the even the Gabi Odom, oyoyoy. So Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama says Machal Behema, and Rabbi Yehuda is now saying the Odom. Okay, so what's the problem with that? So Rashi, because when Rabbi Yehuda says Eimasai, he's not coming to argue. What Rabbi Yehuda is coming is to explain. When did the Tanakhama say Machal Behema, Eimasai, bin Machem Masul Egevishlish? So Rabbi Shimon, no, even Mishaevishlish. But if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds even by Adam, that he's arguing with the Tana Kama, because the Tana Kama only said behind him. And Rabbi Meir is talking about Adam, because at the top of the Omid, in that Mishnah, when we quoted Rabbi Meir, says the Koitz al-Shach is Mavsik. He doesn't mention anything of Gabi behind him. It's Mavsik even Adam. So weiter, L'choy Rabbi Meir cannot shtim, not like Rabbi Shimon, like we said before. He cannot shtim like Rabbi Yehuda. So who does Rabbi Meir hold his Shita? Look, Yosef Avdimi, I'm Rabbi Meir. I'm sorry, Kiyosim Dimi Omar. Remeir Mishitzer Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Omar. Afli Odom Nami Lehaviktsira. Even if you're cutting the shachas, not for behemtoi, it's also not considered to be a bona fide ktsira. And that's why when you went and did this ktsira the shachas, it's like leaving the field fallow, and it's not a ktsira. And therefore you have to pay a lecholech of yechim in a month from now, when you're going to do a harvest on the right-hand side field. And the left-hand side field, then you're going to have to go and give payah for each one. This is not considered to be a tchilas ktsira. It's considered to be letting this field go fallow. Now, where do we have this, Rabbi Kiva? Tanan, ha-menamer sod v'shir boi kolochim lachim. Menamer, as you know, we've had the word menumer before. That's like a leopard that has spots. The most recent time we spoke about this was the Gabi Ksiva Sefer Torah. If you had a bunch of chaseirois, and the soifer had to go and squeeze in the word bein hashitois, so the more if you had that at least four times on a daf, it looks like it's a menumer, as if it's spotted. Therefore, it's... Sorry? Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, the Nana Menamer Sada, Bashir by Kolochim Lachim, he went and did a number of pockets in the large field, where he cut over here and he cut over there, and he left over some klachim lachim, that means some moist stalks in the field. Rabbi Kiva, oh, you have to go give payah for each one. Even though over here we're talking about the Adam, so that's like Rabbi Meir. Oh, that your menamer saw that, did you go and remove the shachas? What's the din? Payah l'cholachav yachad. V'chom oimer miyachad alakar. V'yom Rabbi Yirom Eshmol, l'chayiv Rabbi Kiva el menamer l'kloyes, a menamer l'oitzer loy. What is Rabbi Yirom Eshmol adding? What he's adding is, in this Mishnah, we have Menamer Soda, it doesn't say when the Menamer took place. Menamer means to go and harvest a little over here and a little over there, and leaving like open bald spots in the field. But it doesn't say when this took place. It says Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Rav Akiva is talking about Menam the Kloyus. Kloyus means when it's still unripe in Tvua. Rashi says it's just like the situation of Shachas. That what shall he via shlish, and a person cuts it prematurely for people to go and chew on toasted, unripened kernels of wheat. Apparently this was similar today to our bubble gum, that people would go and chew on those plates. So we're talking about a shachas situation. And what does Rabbi Kiva say about shachas situation? That you have to give pay l'chol echad v'yachad. So that's the same thing that Reb Meir set up above. Al-Menama l'oitzer. L'oitzer means that it's already fully ripened, and now the reason why you're cutting is because you want to store it in a storage bin. Dushanish. Oh, so then l'choyra, that stems very nicely. Reb Meir holds like Rabbi Kiva. Freitimor eini. I v'haki asura ravin. No. Rabbi Kiva was even talking about a case namer for shachas, for kloyos, even if it's at the status of oitzer. In other words, this whole field is fully ripened, and now he is not just taking workers and going just through up and down the rows and harvesting, but he says, no, go and do over there in the right-hand corner first, and then go in the left corner, and then go in the middle, and then go to the bottom, and the southwest, and the northeast, etc. Why a person is doing that, I don't know, but that's what he's doing. So according to Rabbi Kiva, even in such a case of Menamer, he has to go and give Peyo l'chol echad v'echad. Well, that's not Reb Meir. Reb Meir is only talking in a shacha situation, where it's the wheat is still premature, it's not ripened yet. Everyone is kefer. In approach, Reb Meir holds like Reb Akiva that if you menamer and you cut certain spots, what's the din? It's not considered to be a ksira. However, Reb Meir only extends his halacha to the case of the shachas, and Reb Akiva goes one step further, even in the case of fully ripened. Have a nice day, Rabbi Yisrael. Hatzlacha Rabbah.